Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, August 31st, 2018. And this is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube.
And I'm Chanono Kawande.
Tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about relations between China and African nations as President Emmerson Mnangagwa prepares for the 2018 Forum on China-Africa Cooperation.
To join our discussion, please phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 meter-wave frequency and on the 4930-6080 and 15460 kHz shortwave, Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
On the internet, you can get us on voazimbabwe.com, voashona.com, and voandebele.com.
If you have just joined us tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, we are talking about the Sino-African relations amid concerns over Chinese investment in Africa.
African leaders, including President Mnangagwa, are expected next week to strike multi-million dollar deals for infrastructure, business and development projects with China. To date, China has made more than $142 billion in loans to African countries, and this year's forum will deepen those financial ties.
Some of these deals have raised concern among several nations that are settled with crippling debts as China makes inroads in Africa through its infrastructure strategy called the Belt and Road Initiative. Some experts say the lack of transparency in these deals leads to corruption.
As a result, several nations have attempted to renegotiate the deals but ended up on the receiving end. According to the New York Times, after Sri Lanka ran into trouble with its loans, China renegotiated the terms in exchange of a port and 15,000 acres of surrounding land in the form of a 99-year lease on the property.
Zimbabwe has over the years signed several so-called mega deals with China. Some local people say they are not benefiting from the deals under the country's look-east policy.
Please note that we are live streaming this show right now on our Facebook pages, VOA Studio 7, VOA Shona, and VOA Ndebele.
Ngibambe Zulu ndaba lingajona njani lapho likhona khona ngapho ke mahlaba Zulu. Lamhlanje sikhuluma ngobudlelwano phakathi kwelizwe leChina lelizwekazi leAfrica. So ke siyakwazi ukuthi iZimbabwe layo ke idlelana kakhulu lelizwe leChina. Kwakho lokho kuthiwa look east policy. Singazi ukuthi lokho khona kodwa sibona ngazani kubekela phambili. So kulabanye sibili abathenga besithi ke ukudlelana leChina ungazani kubabisele muva. Abanye sebezama ukuthi bakhulume ngamadili wona lana akalungiswa. But hayi kukhanya ngazani akudlisi kangako. Kuze kubuye kancane sikhangela iChina isifaka imali eningi okumangalisayo kuzikazi leAfrica. Ifika ku 142 billion. So kuchitile imali sibili eningi okumangalisayo.
Nasi tuda kutasa pa ukama huwe China ne Africa kutukura mba kuchende rambere zukuru sei munyaya ze development kana kutisrebudi riro China isipatra nyika zomu Africa ne mari kana kuti nenyanji zoku waka nyingi zoku wakwa musangano uyuruku itu waku China President wa Zimbabwe Emmerson Mnangagwa vaningavari vamwe vye ma vatungamiri wenyika zomu Afrika varikumusangano uyu. Kusvika parizvino China inonzi yakawana mari inoita $142 billion kumaloans kunyika dzoku Afrika. And musangano uri kuitwa uyu unoratidza kuti uchasimbaradza ukama hweAfrica neChina. Asi varipo zvedzimwe nyanzvi dzinoti ushamwari hweChina neAfrica hakuna kunyatsomira zvakanaka nokuti zvibvumirano zvavanotenderana nenyika dzokuAfrica hazvina kumira zvakanaka zvakarerekera kuChina zvichikonzera kuti dzimwe nyika dzomuAfrica dzipinde muzvikwereti zvadzisingakwanisi kuzobhadhara. Zvino vakapazve mufananidzo wenyika yeSri Lanka, for example, inonzi yakatadza kubhadhara zvikwereti zvayo kuChina. China achibva yazotiwo aiwa totironga panyowani, China ikati inoda port yokuSri Lanka ne 15,000 acres Zealand iri padhuze neport iyoyo. Saka zvinhu zvinodhura chose. Saka nhasi tinoda kutarisa pamusoro peukama hweChina neAfrica kuti hunobatsira here kana kuti hune mamwe maproblems ahuno creatavo mushamwari hwawe
dove. So we are lucky because we've got an in-studio guest, and that is Leah, who is working for the VOA Mandarin service. She is a foreign correspondent of that kind of service. So we really welcome you to the studio, Leah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Tell us a bit about the forthcoming summit.
Right. As we know, this forum on China and Africa cooperation is an official forum, right, between China and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, it's a forum intended to further deepen the ties between China and the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the first summit was held in 2006 in Beijing, and subsequently the second summit was held in Johannesburg, South Africa in 2015, and the upcoming one will be held from September the 3rd to 4th in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to this forum, there's also a business forum between China and Africa, and I just saw official media report from Beijing saying that all the African states that have diplomatic relations with China will send business representatives. You know, these will be people from, you know, the non-governmental organizations, think tanks, research institutes, and of course business entrepreneurs. So it's a major event. As we all know, China and Africa enjoys a traditional long tradition of good relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely an effort by Beijing to further deepen these ties, not only financial ties, but also political, because Beijing understands Africa is also strategically important for Beijing.
And there's got this strategy called the Belt and Road Initiative. Tell us a bit about it.
Right, yes. It's often referred to as OBOR, which means One Belt, One Road. It's the Silk Road Economic Belt, right? That's the One Belt. And the One Road refers to the 21st century maritime Silk Road. You know, we have this old traditional Silk Road, right? It was first articulated by the Chinese President Xi Jinping in 2013. It's a very ambitious effort to improve regional cooperation and connectivity on a transcontinental scale. The initiative aims to strengthen infrastructure, trade, and investment links between China and some 70 other countries that account collectively for over 30% of global GDP, about 62% of the world population, and 75% of known energy reserves. So this gives us a sense of the scale, right? It often, in the earlier days when this was launched, it was often compared to the United States Marshall Plan in Europe after the Second World War II. But I think the difference between this BRI and the Marshall Plan is that Marshall Plan is mostly it's an aid provided by the United States for the revival of the Europe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The BRI is mostly loans provided by China. So there's one difference. The other thing is you can tell the scale of BRI is even bigger than the Marshall Plan. So One Belt, One Road, and actually there are also six other economic corridors that have been identified to link other countries to this Belt and Road. And there's a land-based belt, right, that stretches from China's western periphery, then through Central and Western Asia and on to Europe, right? Also, yeah, that's the land-based belt. Then the maritime road of like shipping routes, ports, pipelines, and other developments passes through the South and Southeast Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and before reaching Europe. So The most visible feature of the BRI is expected to be a network of both physical and digital infrastructure, servicing like transportation, energy transmission, communications, and other avenues of connection. So the connectivity is really the buzzword. You know, Beijing uses that a lot. It's really meant to connect people, right, from different countries, different cultures. So it's a major, you know, overarching project.
How have other countries reacted to the Belt and Road Initiative?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, from Beijing's perspective, they believe that this is something that's going to be good both for China and the countries that along the Belt and Road, right? At least that's its stated aim. But I think the reaction has been mixed, to say the least. Well, I think the World Bank and other international organizations have stated that they welcome this initiative because it provides very much needed funding for infrastructure, right? All these, you know, ports and railways, roads and all this, right? So because there's a lack of funds in this aspect. So definitely China is providing a good thing, right? By stepping in, by providing the initial fund. But then we also saw, as you mentioned in the opening, we've seen a lot of problems with some of these projects. For example, you mentioned the case in Sri Lanka, right? So recently, Malaysia also canceled several BRI-related projects because they simply cannot repay the loans. So in the Western media, we can see reports about this so-called debt trap diplomacy, because they think that this is not a benign economic cooperative initiative, right? China has other strategic goals, and they worry that by investing in these projects, especially by giving loans to these countries, that may not be able to repay these loans. So then China can leverage these loans for its own gains. So, yeah, as you might remember, you know, the former U.S. Secretary of State, Tillerson, mentioned that this is a predatory economics. That, he strongly believed that China is engaging in this kind of predatory economic practices to gain strategic and geo-economic benefits out of this.
Thank you so much. Lapo kulinwa ke umama uliya wevyo Mandarin Service uyakhuluma ukuthi kuyini kono kuvele okuthiwa iBelt and Road Initiative okwenziwa iChina. Uthi iChina lapho izama ukuthi idlelane lamazwe achiyeneyo ngendlela eziphezulu kakhulu. Onye wangkona kuti kubela loku okuthiwa ukukhulumisana communication. Kuzobuya njalo lokuthi imigwaqo iyenzwa njani. Kodwa ikakhulu okwenziwayo ukuthi kube lamaloni amaningi kakhulu anikwa abantu eAfrika, amazwe eAfrika, ukuthi balungise khonokho abakulungisayo. Kodwa yatsho ukuthi kukhanya kule nkinga nxa kukuthi kuzokhangelwa khonokho amaloni zona lawa. Ngoba kwezinye indawo kungazani kuhambe kahle, kwezinye indawo kungazani kuyahamba, kodwa bakhona abaningi abakusolayo. So kuzobuya ukuthi ilizwe leMalaysia uyakhuluma ukuthi lagcina lingani liyakumisa khona kuyinto zamaloni. So ke kulala bantu abakusolayo kakhulu ukuthi iChina ngazani sinika amazwe lawa imali eningi kakhulu. I think we are joined by our second guest, and that is Mr. Joyce Ngwenya, who is an independent commentator. Can talk to
you? Mr. Ngwenya, muripo here? Hello, Mr. Ngwenya.
Hey, hello. I can hear you.
Yeah, makadi niko. Yes, yes. Tinenya relationship ye China ne Africa, especially munyaya ze development ne nyaya za loans. Tiri kuona kuti dzimwe nyika dzoita sokunetseka pakuzobhadhara mari inenge ichidiwa ne China. Mungatiudza imi mupfungwa dzenyu pausawira ushamwari pakati pe China nenyika dzomuAfrica. Munoona chii, munofungei?
Right, ukanya to tarisi saiko zina kanya to tarisi zangu graph inonziyo kufambiswa kwe mari kana investment kuenda ku Africa ne China nyika gumi unonya to ongora uti ukawona uti nyika ziripa msoro pakujidana neChina, Egypt, Nigeria or South Africa. Ndiyo nyika muAfrica dzinonzi nyika dzakabudirira. Saka zvine musoro kuti titi isusu dzimwe dzenguva kujidana kwatiite neChina. Zvine pfundiso mukati asi zvozoenda nekuti vanhu vacho vari kumiririra Zimbabwe kana kuti Africa zvakamira sei nekuti kaona kuti $4 billion yakaitwa nechina vachivaka njanji inobva kuMombasa ichienda kuNairobi yachinja yapundutsa nyika yacho saka zviripo hazvo asi hapana udzidzano usina madisadvantage ndingangoti kwaiko zvino ndingangudo zvandingareva
munoona here kuti zvinofanira kuramba zvichienderera mberi nekuti handiti mavona taura nenyaya yekuti dziripo dzimwe nyika dziri kutadza kubhadhara mari iyi uyezve imi mataura nenyaya yekuti vanhu vanenge vachitambira mari dzacho idzodzo kana kuti maloni wavo panenge panewo mibvunzo inenge iripo kuti kuda pamwe havabati zvinhu zvakanaka saka munoona munotenderana nazvo here zvekuti China irambe ichipa mari kunyika dzemuAfrica idzo dzimwe dzichizotadza kubhadhara zvingafambiswa sei
inini maonero angu ndekuti kupa mari hazvibatsire nekuti kana uchipa mari kuhurumende isingagone kuchengetedza mari orungokudza chikwereti chevazukuru vedu inini kudyidzana kwandinonyatsonzwisisa nechoku ndeko iko kwandora kwepenhiko kweinfrastructure ikoko kuti munowirirana kuti kana muchida kuvaka njanji chii chiri kushandiswa munyika yenyu chinoita kuti nyika yenyu ibudirire vanhu vashandi vemuzimbabwe simbi dzemuzimbabwe nezvakadaro zvese kuita kuti mari yako ndingangoti value uremu hweinvestment yacho hofambirana nembatya dziri kushandiswa kuti zvikure izvongotora zveexim bank zvongotora $4 billion ukatora $4 billion ukapa ZANU-PF vanotora $2 billion voita muhomwe imwe inozosara voshandisa masocial services hapana zvatinenge taita asi mari ngaibatanidzwe neinfrastructure kuita kuti kana kudyidzana kwacho kwapera kana nyange muchibhadhara chikwereti chenjanji iripo zviri nani nokuti njanji yacho inenge ichishandisa kudini kutakura mbatya muchiexpota kana kuti muchishandisa mbatya dzacho munyika menyu
okay muramba muripo vangu wenyu tichadzoka kwamuri
her benefit maybe to task.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were talking to one of our guests, and he seems to feel that initially, if you look at some of the countries that have benefited from China in Africa, the top three show a great big difference in terms of their economic life, their setup. So he feels that maybe it's okay to continue this relationship, although he's worried about the ability to repay the loans.
Right, right. That's exactly what other countries are also worried about as well, because a lot of these loans are unsustainable, right? So what happens when you cannot repay these loans, then we see quite a bit of pushback against the BRI projects.
You did mention the Marshall Plan vis-a-vis the
BRI.
Yes. And you also said that this is much bigger than the Marshall
Plan. In terms of scale. Yes.
But now I think we can see why. The other was just giving. The other is lending.
Right.
So there is a bit of, you know, when you borrow, you tend to get reckless and you borrow more than you can pay back.
Right.
What, in your view, how best can this be adjusted so that we have a balance here to actually give the loans that produce some development that can benefit the country later on, or, you know, the giving, like the Marshall Plan idea, was good just for a short term, but I don't think it prepared people to be able to take care of themselves later on.
Right.
So how can we strike a balance there?
I'm sure that's something that Beijing is very keen in terms of, you know, how to make this work, right? Mm-hmm. Because right now we see a lot of criticism, pushbacks against this. I personally believe that I think it's Beijing's intention to really to create a win-win situation, right? One, to benefit China. Mm-hmm. We heard talks about solving China's overcapacity problem as a result of this massive stimulus package after the 2008 financial crisis. So this is a way of exporting China's excessive capacity, right? But I don't think it's in Beijing's interest just to use this for it just for its own gain. I do believe they really wanted to help both China and the other countries along the Belt and Road. Mm-hmm. As Chinese President Xi Jinping, actually the other day, celebrating the fifth anniversary of this initiative, said, he said, you know, this the Belt and Road Initiative is an economic cooperation initiative, not a geopolitical or military alliance. He said it's an open and inclusive process and not about creating exclusive circles or a China club. So he also mentioned, I think it's interesting in his remark in Beijing, I think he indicates maybe a change in its strategy about how to implement this BRI initiative, because he said, you know, Beijing now needed to fine-tune the details and build a comprehensive system to carry it out. So I think this is a recognition that there are some problems in the implementation of this plan. We also hear a lot of criticisms about these projects, not hiring, not creating jobs for local people.
Mm-hmm. Human rights violations.
Human rights issues, yeah. Environmental issues, right? That's also another one. There's a lack of transparency because traditionally China doesn't really have a very good standard of these governance issues and transparency and environmental standards and labor standards, right? So this problem is unique to the BRI projects. It's just unique to China's ways of operating overseas.
If you were to give Mr. Mnangagwa a tip, so you are going to this summit, here is what you can do to get something good out of it.
Yeah.
What do you say to him?
I don't think I'm in the position to give advice, but what I hear from experts are, you know, you need to, so for these countries, right, who are interested in participating in this project, you really need to know, before you enter into any contract, you really need to be very careful about what kind of, you know, terms you are entering, right? So they say you want to know for sure this project is really what you needed, really, for the economic development. It's good for the job creation and for the economic development. Mm-hmm. So I think if they really do your due diligence, do the study, right, feasibility studies, I'm sure you would know. You wouldn't enter into any kind of a contract that sounds good on the surface but may not really bring actual benefits to your own country. So I think that's something they can, you know, have in mind.
Yes, and you're supposed to be here for 5 minutes. Now it's about 10, 20 minutes. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So, okay, sibuyele kubaba ke uRejoice Ngwenya, okhona khona lapha ecingweni. So, baba Ngwenya, siyabona ukuthi udaba lolu luyahlupha kakhulu ule China le Africa. So, manje kumele kubanjwe njani? Umnanga kumele enzeni? Kuna ngani?
Right. Angikholwa ukuthi ukuthi singasebenzisa amangilazi ukuthi kuyahlupha. Into ekhona ukuthi njengomama esitsho ukuthi nxa vele umumo wombuso elizweni ungamanga kuhle, uyahlupha. Lobo ungazinika isikweleti ingilosile esezulwini esokuthi isikweleti sokuthi ingilosithi ungakunika i-$4 billion. Nxa ungehlile kuyisebenzisa ngizakunika enye i-$4 billion. Nxa usephileke umbuso wakhona ungamanga kuhle, kuyabe kungalunganga. Kodwa-ke asikuso thina vele sile ama-clarity kulezinto ezisihluphayo lapha elizweni. Indlanje yethu kayimanga ukuhle, imigwaqo yethu ubhayibhridge ukufika eChirundu kayimanga ukuhle, ama-gate athona ehamba. So mina nxa ngiyini sibi ngiyisele into egcini leyana ngiyele ngisithi asikhangelisise indawo esifuna ukuthi sisebenzele ama-Chinese ukuthi loba bengekho sisala intuthuko yethu ikhangeleka. siyabe sikwazi ukuthi nathi silungise injanji yethu sesilungise imigwaqo yethu namagethi sesilawo loba isikole sakungathi sikhona asisihluphi ngoba sesigenerator income thina internally singakhangeli lokho okuthiwa ngama-extractive industry i-mining kumbe ama-raw materials uphela ukuthengisa igwayi kuphela hhayi lokho akuthi akusinesiluku lokho sifuna thina okungenisa imali imithambo i-infrastructure esiyazi ukuthi loba ama-chinese sengekho seselele esikweleti imali yakhona siyakwona ukuthi siyigenerate sibhadale isikweleti yethu
ngicela ukufaka ngesikhiwa nje briefly 1 minute khonokho ba
in a minute what I'm saying is that I don't want to be advising this government to be focusing on deals that emphasize the extractive sector of mining and tobacco or commodities. I want to focus on infrastructure development so that even if we are saddled with a debt, we are saddled with a debt we can pay back because we're exploiting infrastructure, residual infrastructure that has remained even if the Chinese have long gone.
Mm-hmm. So now we've got Marco Davis who writes on Facebook, if China Dube has to come to Africa or Zimbabwe, then they can come with our terms and conditions. So he's saying literally they have to follow what the African nations want. Instead of China detecting the pace.
I think that will offer a problem as well because, like the old saying that beggars cannot be choosers. If we want something done, they can say, we can give you this, but you have to do this.
They will say they are not begging.
They have their minimum requirements as well. So, the African countries are caught in a bind.
So now we've got Polite Kwakuba Maposa, who says, Linjane Kaya, Siapina Foetu. Anti leta leti chabangu, says Linjane, nse Manchester kona ngale. Yes, hauza wakuru. Kumbula ngube, nauti mkona kwa number 48. Kuzuwe lo handiwe mlochwa, na lo melody kualite chuma. Uya spingelega kakuru lapa, lo tichaona makaza. Then, unkanyi songwenya, uti, Chinese want to invest, must employ local people. That's a very sticking point there, Mr. Ngwenya. So the employment of local people.
Mr. Ngwenya, inyaya gara iri ichineta kwe makore ya kawanda chose kutikana makampani anobva ku China achiuya ku Africa. Vanouya ne equipment yavo, vanouya na vashandi vavo, kuti tizoona kuti bachelor yacho chaiyo iri papi. Ivo vasingagoni kuzopa vanhu vemunyika mavanenge vaenda imomo mabasa nokuti vanouya nevanhu vavo pachapa zvinhu zvakanaka here izvizvi zvingangoramba zvichingoitika nguva dzese dzese munozviona sei izvozvo izvi
ndozvatatireka kuti kana uchisaina chibvumirano ita chibvumirano chine pundutso nekuti haungati uchipiwa mari nebhengi bhengi rouya nevanhu varo hatibatsire iwewe kana uchipinda muchibvumirano nechina uona kuti chibvumirano chacho chinosiya zvinhu zviviri technology transfer yekuti michina yacho inoshandiswa inenge ichizosana muzimbabwe kana kuti expertise vanhu vacho vanouya pane unyanzvi here vavachasiya muzimbabwe ukangosaina zviya zvokuti nyange vanhu vanotera marinda vanobva kuchina vanobika sadza vanobva kuchina hapana zvaunenge waita unenge watadza kuita chibvumirano ndosaenda nevanhu vanoziva hakuna kuenda namapoliticians chete kunotipinda muchikwereti.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ngwenya. So let's take our next guest, and that is Dr. Sibusiso Moyo. He's an economist and is in North Carolina, here in USA. Dr. Moyo, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you so much. By the way, this side is afternoon. So tell us, what do you think about China-Africa relations?
What do I think about China-Africa relations?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's a very loaded statement.
Yes.
that's a very loaded statement. But I was listening earlier. I was listening earlier to the lady who was, who was giving us a sort of a preamble as to what the, that Beijing summit is all about. See, on paper, when you look at the relationship that China is trying to do in Africa, everything looks wonderful. I mean, they're trying to promote trade and security and investment relations and all these things, but it's not the type of direct investment that Africa is used to. It's not like the same FDI, that's say American or the OECD or, you know, European countries are basically used to doing in Africa. Mm-hmm. The Chinese seem to be coming to Africa more with like a, you know, it's sort of like targeted debt relief, but a lot of it is basically cheap loans. You know, it's loans, it's not aid. So that's basically, they're going in there more to cultivate something that is a beneficial relationship for them, and yet at the same time they're still trying to benefit Africa. So it's a little bit tricky to analyze, but basically it's not the same type of relationship that we used to seeing from the Americans or from the British.
Mm-hmm.
But so we kind of need to be very careful when we're looking at it. It's not a clear cut in what we are used to.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. One day, you have a question for him?
It does make a lot of sense. When I look at this, my major concern is an issue that I brought up earlier about African countries that fail to pay back the loans that the Chinese give them. We had earlier on the example of Sri Lanka, which renegotiated the loans, and the Chinese ended up asking for a piece of the land for 99 years, in addition to 15,000 hectares of land surrounding that port. Now, when you look at this, when you see this kind of thing, this kind of transaction, what do you think, what do you say, what would you say to the leaders of Africa when confronted with this kind of situation?
Is that question directed at me?
Yes, Dr. Moyo.
Okay. So, it is my opinion that when China goes to Africa, they know that the African governments tend not to have very strong institutions. So that's one big weakness about Africa. So when you see a relationship between Zimbabwe and China, when China is going to Zimbabwe, it knows that it's going basically to deal with individuals. There are no institutions that are going to sit down and vet a deal to see whether is that deal good for the country or is it good for people who are just sitting at the top right now running the country. So from that standpoint, China is in a strong hand because it can get all the deals to its advantage. And basically, we've seen that happen in other African countries. And I'll tell you this one thing that China likes to do or say in Africa, that they don't want to basically interfere with what's happening politically within the country. And one of the reasons why they do that, it basically support the few people at the top that are benefiting, and at the same time offering the deal to China. So basically, at the end of the day, it's never good for the country or for the African country to benefit the Chinese to the detriment of the poor, you know, citizens of the African country. So long term, we as Africans are likely to lose because we don't have the strong institutions at home that are supposed to be vetting these deals. Because if I was running an African country and there are no checks and balances around me, what is to stop me from just abusing my power and giving away national treasures because there's nobody who's saying to me, hey, this is to be vetted by this company, etc. And I think that's our biggest challenge in Africa.
Thank you, Dr. Moyo. Please stand by. We will come back to you in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Tangwenya, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Yes. You have heard some remarks, the latest of which is from Dr. Moyo.
Mm.
He seems to agree with you in some of the things that you had said earlier. Now, what do we do as Africa? What do we do? You go to the World Bank. Zimbabwe is still struggling to pay back money borrowed from the World Bank. And now, without paying that money to the World Bank, Zimbabwe is running around to borrow money from the Chinese. What do you see when you look at this kind of behavior?
Well, look, I mean, although I don't quite agree with Doc when he says that, he says that Africa is not used to the type of, a relationship with China. I don't know, Europe and the West is not used to the relationship with Africa, that Africa is with China. I don't think when we enter into business deals with China, we are using a template, a Western template, because that template has failed. Tanunka, that is the template that has resulted in our soured relationship with the World Bank and with IMF, because it is aid-based, it's not development-based. But the Chinese are coming to say, look, we know you need a bridge, right? Okay, the terms and conditions might be really, like, not quite good, but our relationship with China is need-based. It's not driven by the desire to fulfill, our appetite for cash. So it is okay. We need to be careful. He's right. We need to be careful that when we enter into a relationship with China, we enter into a relationship that is of mutual benefit. But because we are negotiating from a position of weakness, as he says, we don't have institutions, but we have individuals that the government can rely on. Earlier on, I talked about people like Mthuli Ncube, Godfrey Kanyenje, the type of characters who can sit and listen to these negotiators and guys. We don't want to base our interests purely on simply national interests. It must be specific to particular sectors. But it's a fact of life, gentlemen, that sometimes when you borrow money, you can't pay it back. And when you can't pay it back, the collateral has to be called in.
Thank you, Mr. Ngwenya. Please stay on the line. We are going to be coming back to you. We have a caller, Munyaradzi. Urikutinzwa here, Munyaradzi?
Yeah, ndirikunzwa.
Makadini zvenyu tibatsirewo nenyaya iyi. Munofungei nezviri kutaura pano izvi?
Inini ndinofishikana zvikuru kana neChina. Ndikurangarira semugore wakamboya pane imwe kambani pandakamboshanda paZisco paFenix Startup. Vaishungurudza vashandi zvisingaiti vanhu veChina. Asi ndikushamisika kuti sei government isikazvigadzirisi, uyezve sei vanhu vemuAfrica vasingazvigadzirisi, uyezve tikona vaenda kuzvekare. Uyezve izvozvo ndo zvinonyanya ndishungurudza izvo kuti sei zvisingagadziri zvinhu zvakadaro.
Saka munoti munoti zvoitwa sei? Nekuti panapa Munyaradzi
vangakwanisa kuti vasanganise vachisanganisa veChina nevamwe vachikwidzana kwete kungotanga kuchaira chete.
Vakaita savapi? Handi takazvitaura panapa manje manje tichiti kana iri seZimbabwe yakakureta mari dzakawanda kuna mamwe mabhangi kuno kuAmerica dzavari kurwa nekubhadhara futi izvozvo dzavari kutadza kubhadhara asi voenda zvekunokwereta imwe mari kuChina. Saka imi munoda kuti zvifambiswe sei apa?
Kuti vakazama kuti vadhosere mari idzodzo kune dzimwe nyika zvitori nani. Vozama kutsvaka mamwe mamaketi manyowani zviri nani panekuti varambi vachingodzokera kuChina ikoko kuchingodzokera kuChina ikoko uyezve benefit yacho yatisinyanya kuiona zvichibva kuChina kuti makore awanda tichingozonyaya dzeChina but tione zvinenge zvichifamba munyika yedu hatisizviona.
Aiwa tinotenda chaizvo. Munyaradzi here is concerned about the Chinese. His first point is that their decorum, their employment, the way they work with people wherever they are is not very, very good. But he's also wondering why the government of Zimbabwe does not learn from its past experiences and make some suitable changes to improve itself. But his last point is that Zimbabwe must pay back the money and go and look for newer markets where they can have a bit of leverage in negotiating for any assistance they need.
And then on Facebook, we've got Mandla Ncube Smidlos, who says, I'm watching you from South Africa. And then Stephen Mnali Dlala is saying, China are the new colonizers. We are totally colonized. Then MP Murambiwa is having some issues with Dr. Sibusiso Moyo. He thinks that he's the foreign affairs minister. So we have to put it very clearly Dr. Sibusiso Moyo is an independent economist and is based here in North Carolina in USA. So as we Baba rejoicing Gwenya. Now sukangele siwa pambili ele Zimbabwe. Litola nivele kumatili wanalawa. Njalo kwino kufikiwe yomatili wanalawa. Kwa zwa wabantu. mavangwenya
isisekelo sombuso sasi siyachaphisa kuhle ukuthi nxa kule deal esayinwayo iparlamente kayiyo yiyo ekhangelisa icubungulo ukuthi kanti ungazinanzelele kathesi mina vele ayikuthi angifuni ukukhuluma amabizo amadili amaningi athi ayisayinwa lani ayisayinelwe abantu abalutshwane abakuzane upf that igqoke naleyo zane upf isingena kwisikweleti so mina ngithi mina kathesi amadili wonke asayinwa kakhangelisise yiparlamente uthi udube ukuthi izane upf yiyokuthaya kuphela kacubukanikwe ama-institutions akhangelisise ukubona ukuthi yiye kanti kukubhenefitha ngoba thina sisodwa izimbabwe umama lwani wakhuluma ukuthi i-marshall plan izimbabwe kayisoziye phambili nxa kungela marshall plan i-chinese plan siyayifuna imali yakhona sifuna i-investment kodwa kakukhangelisise ukuthi idili linyele ngalinye lilethani inzuzobani nxa lingamanga kuhle lifakwe eceleni kodwa thina kasibe kwazi ukuthi sifunani singakayo e-china kulokuyatshelwa ngumachina zithi mina lifuna umgwaqo thina sifuna injani kakuqonde kube sobala ukuthi singathi ngene entegeni siye-china sifunani kumachina uweze lihlatshele kuhle sikufunani nxa bengakukwani thi hhayi singasayini idile lakhona
so ke just briefly nengi so what is it in those kind of deals the mega deals
there is nothing hidden in those deals the ZANU PF government was very adept and very clever in signing deals that were benefiting a few individuals because like somebody said there are no enough institutions but our constitution is very clear there is no deal that can be agreed by a country without parliamentary oversight so the new order of things there means that when we go to China let's go to China with our priorities very very clear and the expertise that is capable of assisting and measuring the network and the value addition to the people of Zimbabwe. If the deal is not good for Zimbabwe, don't take it. If it does not add value to infrastructure, don't take it. So that we are sure that we have experts sitting in that room and defining our priorities and laying out the plan. Unfortunately, we are beggars. We can't choose more, but there's an opportunity for us to have a mutually beneficial relationship with China.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Maybe to
Lucas. Vangwenya, zvamataura pokupedzisira papa ndozvandaida kubvunza kuti nyika zhinji hadzina choice, hadzigoni kuti dzisarudze, nokuti chero kwavatarisa hakuna kumira zvakanaka. Saka vanomanikidzwa necircumstances. They are forced by circumstances to accept some of these deals. How can an African, nyika yom Africa ingaita sei kuti isapinde parumano pakadari apa?
Ngati kugadzirisa nyaya yacho kuzvinova kuzviva risati ravira. Hatisi chokwadi kuti China hapana chainoda kwatiri. China inoda kunge ichiriva the new global economic power. Inoziva kuti muAfrica muna maresources, muna manatural resources. Pane zvainoita China engine room yakupisa haichakwani kuabsorba zvinoitwa kuti anisaka vanoti isusu nechina tine ushamwarihwa hunodana wezenyuswa relationship saka ngatiende ikoko tichitoziva kuti pane zvainoda kwatiri chiripo nekuti ngatizive kuti chii chainoda kwatiri nekuti kana tisingazivi vanotitota saka relationship yedu although tiri vapana but toziva chete kuti pane zvavanoda kwatiri zvavasina and ivo toziva kuti vanoti vange vari new global power saka ngatinge tichiziva zvatinoda
Yeah, let's go straight to Dr. Sibusiso Moyo, an economist. So, Dr. Moyo, you are hearing what Mr. Ngwenya is saying about these Chinese deals, and what do you think is hidden in these deals? Why is Zimbabwe not really clear about what is being signed?
Well, I think the reason why there is no clarity is because, in my opinion, these deals are not in the nation's interest. I mean, there's no other reason. If the people who are championing these deals knew that if they put it in front of the people and say, let's say the headlines were splashed all over the Chronicle and the Herald that, oh, this mega deal is coming and it's going to do this to Zisco or to NRZ, I mean, people, there'll be excitement within the country because people want those, parastatals to come back to life. But the reason why we're not hearing anything about them is because they're not in the nation's interest. So basically what Zimbabwe basically needs to do is that this country Zimbabwe is in a very difficult situation because it sort of needs to go back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people who are running our country basically need to make sure that the economy works for people. I know that might sound a little bit theoretical, but we sort of need to go back to the drawing board and say, we as a people, what can we do for ourselves? Let the government do the role of the government within an economy, which is that it has to make sure that the rules are applied fairly, there is stability, and there's just clarity. The government needs to come in and clarify what, its role is in the economy. I remember, earlier, was it in April of this year, Mnangagwa mm-hmm. went to China, and I think he was being interviewed on CCTV, and he was saying things like that, we know what the road is to follow, we know what goals in Zimbabwe we want to reach, but these guys at the same time, they seem to be failing to articulate or failing to understand exactly what it takes to run an economy. And in my opinion, running an economy is not that complicated. It only gets complicated when people start want to gain as individuals from it. It's very simple. You lay out the goals, you make sure you have a very impartial judiciary. You know, a good example, we just had elections. A government that wants confidence from the rest of the world would have made the rules of the game clear way before the elections. We know when the election is coming. We know when the results are going to be announced. But in Zimbabwe, there is no clarity on all sorts of things like that. And it makes people who are looking from outside to say to themselves, are these guys really serious? Right now, we're looking at the appointment of a cabinet that's coming in. So you'll see in the next few days, most likely the same guys that have been in there for the past 30 years are going to be running the new government. So, how can you then go out and say, we know the road we need to follow and we know the goals we want to reach, and yet at the same time, you're still taking the old practices mm-hmm. and you bring them back? So that's the biggest challenge in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what Charles Masasa writes, I've never seen or heard of any Chinese person who, after investing or working in a certain country, then banks the money at that particular country. So I think that's a comment from Charles there. Let alone Ndlovu says, ZANU-PF thinks in a very retrogressive manner, so they always do things for themselves. Then we've got Tim Klamangan who says, I'm in Newcastle, and I'm just watching you guys from there. So maybe we can go back to Ubaba Ngwenya. Ubaba Ngwenya, ngasuka ngale sibili abantu bangathi hlolisisani kunoko kuphakathi kwamadili wona lawa kuqalisa ngapi kusiya ngapi kwamele abantu bakuhloze njani kunoko.
Yeah, phela amadili akhona ayakhulunywa phela ukuthi first time deal yomgwaqo kusiyane lokho yona iParliament njengoyike khona iParliament le-civil society abafake uhulumende phansi lathi khona ye amadili ayasayiniwe sifuna ukuba kwazi ukuthi ngoba phela asho kubhaliwe esekeleni sombuso yikuthi lathi siyehluleka ukuthi si-enforce ama-rights ethu isipanele sifake isihlalo sohulumende phansi simbuze ukuthi njengoba sisayana amadili la asayiniwayo yiwaphi kungeneni elizweni kodwa siyabayekela nje behamba becakala nje befithi bayisayine. So thina njengezizalwane zezimbabwe thinethi esithi thina sahambe esikolo kasiyenza umsindo sibili sithi hathi sitshengisa nini amadili la wasayinayo sibona ukuthi inzizo yakhona kuyini.
Yes, cela ufake ngasikhiwa Baba Ngwenya.
Yes, the issue is bringing the government to account.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone past the stage where we are just ululating and praise singing about the deals that are being signed. Civil society, intellectuals, community groups should bring the government down, make the government sit down and force them to reevaluate the deals that have been signed. Because if we don't do that, nobody's going to do that for us. So we have got expertise, we have civil society, we have academics. That is their responsibility, to call the government to account, because they are given power by the constitution through their parliamentary representatives.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ngwenya. I think we are joined by our next guest, and that is Professor Elliot Masocha. He's at the DeVry University in Ohio, here in USA. Professor Masocha, how are you? Are you on the line, Professor Masocha?
Yes, sir.
Now, sir, tell us a bit about what you think about these Chinese deals. We have read a lot about Zimbabwe signing these mega deals, and you know, they look very big, you know.
And Zimbabwe keeps on going there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think there is cause for concern, Professor Masocha?
You know, for me, not at this time to be alarmed by you know, such deals, and you know, especially our president going there to meet other presidents, you know, from the African continent, who have been invited for, you know, such a big meeting that happens. It's once every 3 years. So the Chinese have done a lot in Zimbabwe. We may not see it, or it may not be reported, but you look at the Victoria Falls Airport. You know, they have managed to redevelop the Batoka Gorge, Electric Gorge. I don't know what they're doing there. That they're working there. So I don't think there's any reason to get really concerned, as if, you know, Zimbabwe is going to leave money in China. You know, it's just going to cement relationships and also maybe exchange notes and see what the future holds for both countries.
Some people might argue, Professor Masocha, some people might argue that it's okay to borrow as long as you can pay back. Earlier on, when the program started, we talked about the example of Sri Lanka. Don't you see that? Is there a possibility that this kind of thing is going to befall more and more African countries, where they are forced to give up part of their lands for 99 years in payment or in an attempt to soothe the borrowed monies?
Yeah, it may get to that point, but you know, the way I see it is that African governments are so much desperate to revive their economies.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who comes with a deal that may look too good to be true, they fall for it. And then it's you know, us citizens of Africa, we are pushing our government to do something for us. You look at Zimbabwe. It has about 80% unemployment rate, and the president has to do something. And we have been all calling for the president to do something. So that's the desperation we have, the desperation I think we have to try and see where it can get. But I don't think we can get to a point where we'll be, you know, forced or asked it to give up part of our land, because these presidents are surrounded by people who are very smart and educated, who advise them on you know, what to sign and then why they should sign there. So I don't think it can get to that, because these deals haven't started today. You know, for other countries that got independence way before 1980, you know, Zimbabwe is there in the 1980s, they have been going through these deals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something new that we should be alarmed. It's something that we should encourage our leaders to see and study the deals before they sign.
Now, President Emmerson Mnangagwa is going to China for the summit, the Africa-China summit. So now, at the end of the day, he's going to come with some more mega deals. Now, do you think that there's something that is really hidden about some of these deals? Who is benefiting? Is it China? Is it Zimbabwe? Is it the people of Zimbabwe? Who is benefiting, really?
Well, I think both sides are benefiting. Definitely, the Chinese who are lending money, they are definitely benefiting, because it's not, you know, free money. You know, if they have excess money to invest by lending countries like Zimbabwe.
Mm.
And in business, we say that if you have money and you are not making more money, then you are not making any sense. So I think the Chinese are making money, you know, from the money they are lending to African governments, and in exchange of that, I also believe that African countries like Zimbabwe, they are also benefiting by employment creation, because those projects that are being carried out by the Chinese in Zimbabwe and African countries, they help to create employment.
Baba Ngwenya, we have formula like una. Baba Ngwenya, do you agree with him? We have formula. Kuna puti kule employment kanya usivili yezo ama Chinese kumbaya kula niks.
Yeah, I mean, we are working with each sector. What are young people doing as you can? The Amanya sector, employment, economy. You could pay a lot of character in Mama China as Muslim students. Where are you going to lose? What are you going to do? I'm going to say, I'm approaching the corner as well. You are in the Abantu students.
Yeah, in Kerupa, the skill was that was a 7 to 10.
Right, I mean, I do agree that if you look at the bigger picture, the Chinese investment that we have in Zimbabwe do actually provide employment. Of course, we people might not be happy with the wages, the level of the wages, with the, you know, the rights aspect. But definitely, you know, if you encounter a Chinese project right now, you are going to see relatively, you know, interesting you know, figures of employment.
Mm-hmm. Maybe let's go to Dr. Asfuso Moyo.
Dr. Moyo, are you comfortable with the trend of the Chinese coming into Africa vis-a-vis the Western countries? What can you pick the good, the bad from either side?
The good and the bad from either side. I think I wanted to respond to a gentleman earlier who, I think it was Mr. Grenier, who said something like that in Zimbabwe we need, you know, MPs and academics need to be more proactive and vet these deals. I think if we need to be honest with ourselves, Zimbabwe is a dictatorship and there is no other way to say it. I mean, when people rise in Zimbabwe, what happens? You know, we just saw it, you know, within the election that just passed, when people were protesting about the results, what happened? There was loss of life. The one thing that this government is afraid of is people rising. That's the only thing they're afraid of. They're not afraid of the court system. They're not afraid of any other institutions of government because they control that. What they don't control are the voices of people on the street. And when the people rise, people get slaughtered. So to say that we need involvement from, you know, all the other players basically are powerless. Academics basically kiss up to the government because it's the government that feeds them. So that's why I was saying that I think a country is sort of in a very difficult situation. It's almost like a lost cause. So given that, coming back to your question, I would say, in my opinion, what the Chinese are doing is that they see a country that's desperate, you know, and they see an opportunity. I mean, if I was in the Chinese position, I'll be doing the same. There's an opportunity there for them to go in and control resources. Zimbabwe has a lot of mining resources, a lot of agricultural resources. So if you go in there as China, you are most likely to come out on the positive side of things. I mean, we as Zimbabweans have benefited a lot from aid from the West. But we, you know, because the West, the reason why we're not in good terms with the West right now is because the West tend to want to come in and start detecting certain things, and they'll tell you, okay, what are you doing with your human rights? You know, enforce the rule of law, things like that. The Chinese don't care about that. The Chinese are just saying, okay, we're not going to look at your internal politics. We just want to give you, you know, let's do our deal on the side. We don't have to even tell people anything. So I think to us as a country moving forward, it's just going to be difficult, but we need to go back to fundamentals. If I was running the Zimbabwean government right now, I think the first thing to do is, why don't we fix our current currency issue? I mean, we're trading in U.S. dollars. U.S. dollars is making everything very expensive in Zimbabwe. We shouldn't be using U.S. dollars. I mean, we can go back to a much stabler Zimbabwean currency as long as the people who are running our country put the country first. Mm. But that's not what's happening right now.
Thank you. It's very easy
to bring back the Zimbabwean dollar. And if you really want to do it right, and it can be stable, but the people who are doing it don't want to do it. So we're in trouble for that reason.
Thank you so much. Mm. Your last word, Professor Masocha. 10 seconds, your last word.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to respond to the previous speaker who say, well, we have to introduce the Zimbabwean dollar before we even look, you know, to other countries. We still need help from those countries to introduce the Zimbabwean dollar, because we are just not going to wake up and say, here's the Zimbabwean dollar, then we are going to cry again as we used to in 2008, 2007, mm-hmm. when the U.S. dollar came to be worthless. We still need help from countries like China. And countries like China, it's not their first time to be in Africa. The Chinese have always been with Zimbabwe ever since the liberation struggle. So
thank
these
you.
Have been
thank
our
you.
Friends forever.
Thank you so much, Professor. The time is up. Sorry,
thank
we
you.
Have to end here. We thank our guest this evening, Lee Ha, a correspondent for the VOA Mandarin Service, Mr. Rejoice Ngwenya, an independent economic commentator. Dr. Siphosiso Moyo, an independent economist based in North Carolina, that is here in USA. And Professor Elliot Masocha at DeVry University in Ohio. Thank you so much, all of you, for having joined us tonight. Signing off is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C. Let's meet again on Monday. Bye-bye.
And I'm Chanona Kawande. Until we get together again on another important topic of your interest, please stay well and come back and join us again. Good night.